This is Missing the Mouse, Episode 7. This week, we're going to be talking about the resorts on property at Walt Disney World and whether or not it's worth it to stay at those. Kind of like last week or last episode when we were talking about the meal plan. This is another episode in a series, I suppose, of helping me plan my trip at the end of the year.
This is another episode in the series of Jeremy really needs to think through some things for his trip. So, hey, we're going to think through them on the podcast, and maybe it'll help you guys out or not. Jeremy is not really concerned, just as long as he gets the best benefit for his trip.
Yeah, that's it. It's a selfish thing, but hey, it's my podcast, so...
That's right. And you know what? I feel like from the number of people that I have regularly contacting me because they're preparing to take a trip to Disney World, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is so overwhelming. I just don't know what to do. It's good information to think about and good information to talk about. So
yeah, there is a lot of things to think of when you start planning.
Yes, and inevitably, you can feel like you're making a bad decision so very quickly you really have to take the time to look at all these things, or you'll get there and you'll be like, oh darn, I should have thought of that.
Right.
And that'll happen anyway, but we'll help you figure out a few things.
Absolutely. So we'll start at the cheap side, which is what Disney refers to as the value resort hotels. At the time we're recording, the pricing goes from $90 a night to $110 a night. And the resorts are the Pop Century, All-Star Music, All-Star Movies, All-Star Sports, and Art of Animation. Now, Brad, I know you've stayed at the Pop, at least. I've never stayed at one of the value resorts, so...
Yeah, I've stayed at Pop, and then I've also stayed at, I want to say, Sports and Movies. I've stayed at Music as well, so yeah. I've done pretty much all the All-Stars along with Pop. The only one I have not stayed at yet is Art of Animation.
And that's relatively new.
Yeah, the last time we were there, they may have had the first section of that open, but basically from what I've heard and read, very much like the, you know, we talk about the All-Stars and you've got the Sports, Movies, it's all the All-Stars resorts. All it is a different theme on top of the hotel, you know, on top of hotel rooms basically, and similarly Art of Animation, you know, kind of takes the same approach with Pop Century. As a matter of fact, they're on opposite sides of Hourglass Lake, I believe. So basically, you're kind of picking between the two there. They're very good rooms. Basically, what you're looking at is, I would say, you know, it's a step up from, so 2.5-star, maybe 3-star hotel. You know, it's not a Motel 6, but you're not going to have a sitting room and all these sorts of things. It's a basic hotel room.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that we've discussed planning this trip is we're going to be in the room mostly to sleep, you know, and maybe it doesn't matter so much the amenities of the room, you know, especially when you're talking, which we'll get to, you know, hundreds of dollars a night difference.
Yes, between the different rooms. Now, I will say that just discussing among the value resorts, my personal preference has always been since Pop opened, which I remember before Pop was open, and that's why I stayed at All Stars. Since Pop has opened, I've preferred Pop just because I like the layout a little bit better there. The All Stars, I believe, are finally all served by their own bus system, but for quite a while there, they were served by a single bus for all three resorts. So basically, you would get on the All-Stars bus, and it would stop at all three resorts. And depending on which one you stayed at, you would either have to wait a really long time to get off, or you'd have to wait quite a while, and the bus would already be 3/4 full by the time it got to your resort. Typically, during the park openings, things like that, they were sending individual buses to each resort. But during the day, that wasn't always the case. So I preferred Pop for those reasons. Plus, being the newer resort, the last time I was at All Stars, they had done some updates to it, made it look a little bit nicer. But you know, it's showing its age a bit more than Pop has. And as a matter of fact, If I was to book something today, I'd probably be booking Art of Animation just because it's the newest one out there and should be very similar to Pop in a lot of ways.
Right. And you hit on a big, big thing. All of these resorts have transportation to the parks. Every resort on Disney property either has bus service, boat service, or monorail service to the parks. So we won't necessarily hit on that every time, but just know that all of them do include a way for you to get from your resort to the park without renting a car, which kind of adds to the value, again, of these resorts, and especially now that the All-Star resorts are all being served by their own buses. Because I know that the bus from MCO, the airport, to Disney World, mm-hmm. is very, 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 very crowded. And it if you're on the last resort stop on that bus, it can take a really long time to get to your resort. And, you know, we're talking, it's already about a 45-minute drive from the airport. And so then you're adding another 30 going, you know, stopping at everybody's resort and then, you know, unloading everybody and all that stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think that's probably an important distinction to make when we talk about, you know, when you say we're talking about the cheapest resorts are actually going to be the off-property resorts. You know, you can stay at somewhere in the, you know, in Main Gate probably for $50 a night. It might be a little sketchy looking. It's going to look, a lot of those cheaper ones look really worn down. I mean, they've seen a lot of use. And I have stayed off property. I want to say maybe we got down a night early one time and we spent a night or two off property. It wasn't a horrible hotel, but when you start, you know, you look at that $50 and you say, okay, If I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to rent a car. So that's going to be an additional amount. It opens up more of Orlando for you to do. You can go do the outlet malls. You can go to some of the other attractions there in the, you know, in that area. But if you're going for Disney, you know, having the bus is a huge advantage. And so you're gonna have to pay for that car rental. Then you're gonna have to pay $15 a day to park, and that's right now. Wouldn't surprise me. I want to say it's been that way for at least a year or two. But Disney goes up on park admission all the time. Disney will probably go up on parking next year, if not the year after that. You know, and so it's going to, when you take in all those things, it starts to seem to me to be a huge advantage to be on property. Plus, there's just the advantage of being able to do what you want on your own terms. So say, for example, I'm going to go to Animal Kingdom to start my day. And again, until they get Avatar Land out there, that's a morning park at 5 p.m., 6 p.m. The gates are going to close and you're going to want to go somewhere else with your park hopper. If you've driven your car there, you're then going to have to go out to the parking lot, get in your car, and drive to whatever other resort you are, whatever park that you want to go to. And go park again. You're probably going to be in the very back, have to ride a tram up there. Or I can jump on a bus because guess what? I'm staying on property. And at the end of the day, I'll just go back to my hotel room.
Right. And staying on property, you also get, even at the less expensive resorts, you get that Disney experience. And you get, you know, all the people working there are cast members and they're, you know, happy to be there and they're very helpful. And I mean, it's a better experience than I would imagine you would get at like the Best Western or the La Quinta right outside the main gate.
Exactly. And another huge advantage of staying on property to me is the ability to send things back to your room.
Absolutely. Good call, Brad.
Because I do not want to, you know, and this is intelligent on Disney's part because I don't care that much about shopping. And if you made me haul what I was buying all around the park all day long, I just would not be buying very much, if anything. But the idea that I can go see something I like, purchase it, give them my room number, and at least on, I think in the deluxe resorts, you're probably looking at room delivery. In the value resorts, they're typically going to drop that off at the gift shop, and you'll need to pick it up from there. But you can show up to the gift shop the next day and just pick up your stuff and just carry it straight to your room.
Right. No worries about hauling, you know, a bunch of mugs on Space Mountain or something.
Yeah, and then crying a lot because those mugs were Disney mugs, so they were not cheap mugs when they broke.
Right. So that's all the what Disney refers to as the value. And I would say my only hesitation with staying at a value resort is that that's probably going to be where most families are going to stay. And so there's going to be more kids there. But I can't speak from experience on that.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, and I think that that's probably true to an extent. But at the same time, I mean, you're talking about a place where families are typically going to go, and so to some extent, you're not going to get it. You know, there's not a resort that you're going to go to that you're going to get away from kids, because you've got families coming from all sorts of socioeconomic backgrounds. And I've seen them staying anywhere from the All-Stars all the way up to, Contemporary or something like that. While you may be able to lessen it, I don't think you're going to be able to get rid of it. In fact, what I would say is, if families are really your concern, and you just don't want, you don't want to deal with the kids, there's not really a lot you can do on the buses. But if you're going to the parks when the parks open and you're getting back when the parks close, you're probably going to be standing up in a bus anyway. Doesn't matter which resort you're staying at that I've seen so far. And all that you really need to do is just ask for a room away from the pools, and you really won't. Yeah. You really don't deal with that much noise or anything else.
Yeah. And so that, that brings us to, the moderate resorts, which I have stayed at. I've stayed at both the Caribbean Beach and Coronado Springs, and, you're right on, man, on the pool thing, because we were opposite the pool at the Caribbean Beach Resort, and I mean, there was no issue at all, really. As you get closer to the pool, you start to get more of that ambient noise and more of the screaming kids, and that's pretty much, that seems to be a morning, afternoon, and night kind of a sound thing. So if you're sensitive to that, definitely asking for a room far from the pool, which is usually at the center of the resort, would be a good idea.
Yeah, generally I would argue that anybody who works a front desk is going to be more than happy to give you something away from the pool, because those are the rooms that that families are begging for all the time anyway. It's to their benefit to give you something away from the pool.
Yeah. So the moderate resorts are Caribbean Beach, Coronado Springs. They have the Cabins at Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort, which is relatively new.
I don't even think I remember that one, but hey, great.
Yeah, and then you have Port Orleans, which has a French Quarter and a Riverside area. And those go from $170 to Caribbean Beach, Port Orleans, and Coronado Springs are all $170 a night. And then Fort Wilderness is $294. So you're paying almost double to stay at the Cabins at Disney's Fort Wilderness, which is in the Magic Kingdom Resort area. So that's quite a difference in the same class of resort hotels.
So I'm wondering if you're talking the Cabins, I'm wondering if these are going to be like freestanding with some sort of a kitchenette or something like that, because that's the only way that big of a jump in price for a moderate resort, maybe even more than one room or something, would make sense to me.
Yeah, it appears to be like an actual cabin,
like, okay,
where you can. There's a living room, a full bathroom, a private patio, a grill. They call it Rough It in Comfort. So it's a place where you can bring a family. Although I just don't understand why that's classified as a moderate when the deluxe resorts are that much. You know, there's a big discrepancy in price there.
Yeah, but I think maybe that has a lot more to do with the number of people that you can probably fit into that resort or into, one of those cabins versus how many people you can typically, I've stayed at a deluxe. Some of those rooms, you are hard-pressed to put four people into the room and be actually very comfortable. Hmm. So I think if you had a full, a living room, you're going to be able to put people in the living room. You can put people on the bed, you know, plus you're going to have that kitchen, which, you know, that could actually be a pretty big benefit, because breakfast is typically going to cost you somewhere between, would you say about, I think about $6 to $8 a day is what I was, what I remember paying.
On the cheap side, yeah, I would even say closer to 12 or 15 a day per person.
Yeah, I'm probably choosing to forget exactly how much breakfast used to cost, because again, we hit upon that whole thing last week where, or 2 weeks ago, where you don't want to think about the money when you're at Disney because stuff is expensive. But so that kitchen could be a big benefit, and one of the nice things, I'm sure Disney will try to sell you all of your groceries on property.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of places in the Orlando area that are more than happy to deliver food to your resort. So you can actually order groceries and have them delivered at a pretty reasonable price. In fact, we've done that before where my mom has got on a fridge swap, and we've had a refrigerator in the room, and she had, you know, drinks and everything delivered. So we took a flight, didn't have to get a car, and still were able to get a lot of stuff brought to save us a little bit of money. And so I think that could be an advantage to that. But again, it would be an edge case where you had that many people all willing to stay in probably some pretty close quarters.
Yeah. So this, the moderate resorts is the first time we see a boat transportation to the parks, which Disney calls them friendship boats.
Yes.
Which is weird to me, but they're, you know, they're nice. I mean, it's a fun departure from the bus, because, you know, usually they've got pretty nice waterways, and you go past the Yacht and Beach Club and Swan and Dolphin, and Hollywood Studios is right on the water too. I'm not sure if those are all connected, but I know those are several different kind of waterways by which you can get from hotels to parks.
Yeah, and I'm going to roll the dice here and say that if I remember correctly, you can get to Hollywood Studios, Epcot, and a couple of resorts via the waterways. Magic Kingdom, I'm not sure about. I mean, I know they're served by the ferry from the Transportation and Ticket Center, and maybe a boat out to like the Poly.
Yeah, I don't remember ever seeing a friendship boat depart from the Magic Kingdom. I know the ferry does, yes. And that's all that ferry does is go back and forth. But I don't remember ever seeing the smaller little friendship boat.
Yeah, but it's also worth noting that while the friendship boats are a lot of fun, they also take forever
to
get where you need to go.
They're very slow. But this is where the discussion gets personal for me, because I think we've decided that Port Orleans is going to fit our needs the most, just because it's a nicer moderate resort. It's themed very well. It's a lot of fun, and it's a place that none of us have ever stayed before, you know.
Right.
And so, we've been looking, and, you know, I've stayed at Caribbean Beach. We stayed at Coronado Springs for our honeymoon, and Port Orleans just looks really, you know, nice, especially the riverside part. Now, are they like the Swan and Dolphin, where they're both like right next to each other? It's just literally a different side of one building. Do you know?
I'm going to say that I don't know. I know they're in the same basic area, because I actually did stay at Riverside on one of my stays there. I think I had to go for work or something, and they put me up there. Just so I can get this out of the way, because it's really bugging me, what is up with the bus stops at Caribbean Beach? While we're talking about resorts, that place has got the weirdest bus stops I've ever seen. They are so far separated from the way that most of the other resorts do them. It is just insane.
Yeah, it was a hike to get from our you know, door to the bus stop. I mean, it was, and there, you have to walk through parking lots and get out to, I don't know why they built that resort how they did, but yeah, that's, it's certainly not as convenient as it could, and I would even say should be.
Right. So just, you know, that was a, that was a quick little, while we were hitting on the moderates, I just want to tell everybody the bus stops at Caribbean Beach are ridiculous, and the food place at Coronado, just, you know, their little food area just didn't really, I don't know, I just really wasn't a fan of it for some reason.
Yeah, so we didn't eat at Maya Grill. We did get some little, you know, pizzas from the quick service little bar mm-hmm. area in there, and they were, you know, the frozen pizzas. They were all right. But, yeah, we didn't eat at Maya Grill. We had reservations, but it was the fourth night we were there, and we were mm-hmm. just, you know, exhausted. And so we just got our little pizzas and went to our room. And
yeah, well, and that, what I'm actually talking about is just the quick service location there in the Coronado Springs. Just, I actually prefer the one at Pop to that one. So, you know, just, again, we're throwing stuff out about the moderate resorts. Now, as far as Riverside goes, that's the only moderate that I've actually stayed in. And I don't know, at the end of the day, when I looked at the moderate resorts, I just felt like, you know, we're talking about what, like $80 a night difference.
Yeah.
And the rooms were maybe marginally larger. Other than that, I really didn't feel like there was a huge difference between that and a value resort.
Hmm. Yeah, especially if you're saying that the restaurant and the value was better.
Yeah, it, to me, you know, Pop Century's got this, I don't know, maybe it's just the way, I really like the green beans at Walt Disney World. I know that sounds really weird for people, but I really like the green beans. And then they do TV dinners at Pop Century. And there were a couple of times when we'd end up there early enough for dinner, and that's actually not a bad meal. You know, they call it Mom's TV dinner, but it's, and they serve it in a little TV, one of those foil TV tray things. But, you know, it's fresh turkey and stuffing and green beans. And so it's actually, you know, it's a pretty decent meal, especially for a quick service place. But, you know, even the breakfast and stuff were always really good. So, you know, all those things have to come into play. But again, at the end of the day, what I keep coming back to in my mind is I'm like, most of my time spent in the hotels will be with my eyes closed.
And right.
When my eyes are closed, the value to the deluxe villa doesn't feel very different, I don't right. think.
So let's throw value out the window and move on to, hey, we have thousands and thousands of expendable dollars and we got nothing better to do with them. So we'll stay at a deluxe villa. So there's Saratoga Springs, Old Key West. You got the Contemporary, Bay Lake Tower at the Contemporary, Grand Floridian, Animal Kingdom Villas, the Boardwalk Villas, the Beach Club Villas, the Wilderness Lodge. And those go from about $318 up to $493 a night.
From ridiculous to ridiculous. And I'm sorry, I say things like this and I'm like, I know somebody's going to be listening and they're going to be like, well, I just stayed at a villa and it was amazing. And I don't doubt that it was amazing, but I look at that kind of money and I go, man, I could go eat at Le Cellier every night, or I could go eat at California Grill and that would be so much more fun to me. Or I can go to the Grand Floridian or to the Poly and go eat at the restaurants in those places.
Right.
And just not be staying there.
And I misspoke. The Contemporary is not a deluxe villa. The Bay Lake Tower is.
Yeah, that's why they had to build Bay Lake Tower, because they wanted to put some villas closer to Magic Kingdom. And of course, all of these are, unless I'm mistaken, Disney Vacation Club stuff.
They have floors that are DVC rooms. Right. So Bay Lake Tower was built originally, I believe, as a specific DVC property, but they have since I think opened up some of the lower floors, but you know, for almost $450 a night, so they're not having too much trouble keeping the riffraff out.
That's right. And you know what, that's kind of, for me, that's kind of where my discussion on villas is going to have to end, because I've never stayed in one and I don't foresee myself staying in one anytime soon.
So yeah, I don't really know
what's in there.
My only experience with the villas is my Disney Vacation Club DVD that I get about twice a year with a letter that says, hey man, you know, it's only $25,000 to buy in and then $1,000 a year after that. And this villa is just waiting for you.
And that's right, and it looks beautiful.
It sure does, and I love watching those DVDs.
And we'll come change your sheets every 5 days. Mm-hmm. So, hey.
I have eaten at the beach club. Mm-hmm. So we took a boat over to the beach club, and man, it is the pool. It's a sand bottom pool. It's beautiful. Inside at Cape May, the restaurant was, you know, the food was okay, but the restaurant was beautiful. Again, just they put so much work into making these resorts themed well. You know, and I've seen in the DVDs Saratoga Springs and Bay Lake Tower, and granted those DVDs are, you know, very produced, highly, you know, the rooms are at their very best and the property at its very best. But man, if I had $3,000 to drop just on my accommodations on a vacation, I would love to just splurge like that, because man, like the Grand Floridian, oh man, it's so beautiful.
But now the Grand Floridian, the beach club, those aren't all villas though, right?
No,
these are villa part deluxe, right?
Right, these are the villas at
right.
Now boardwalk villas, beach club villas, these are all the villas at, and so if you remove yourself from the villas and just go to the deluxe resort hotels, that's where you get Animal Kingdom Lodge, the Polynesian, the Grand Floridian. Then you have, you know, Beach Club. The Contemporary is considered a deluxe resort. And then most of these are the non-villa versions of, you know, the deluxe villas. And these go from right. 284 up to, again, about 488 to stay at the Grand Floridian, which is the cornerstone, the resort by which all other resorts are judged.
According to Disney.
According to Disney. Which, I looked at the Grand Floridian and the Grand Californian when I was in Disneyland, and, I mean, talk about attention to detail and just theming done to the max.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the thing, you know, I jokingly say according to Disney, but I could see the argument being made that the Grand Floridian is the creme de la creme or whatever it may be. Though I feel like that somewhat comes down to what you're looking, you know, what do you really want to see? Because as far as opulence, I feel like the Grand Floridian has it in spades. But just to see the amazing attention to detail at like the Poly or Wilderness Lodge, I mean, mm-hmm. that's just, it's awe-inspiring somewhat when you walk into that place and, you know, it just goes straight up, especially, you know, at Christmas when they've got a huge Christmas tree and then they've got the big fireplace and, you know, that somebody can walk into it so big. You know, and that's the thing, is the theming is what is another thing that sells at Disney Resort, you know, hitting back to that on-property, off-property, is that they do take the time to put some thought into what they're doing instead of just giving you a room to stay in. However I may choose to treat it, even all the way down to the value resorts, there is a theme that is involved here. There is a theme that they're thinking through.
Right. And this category breaks my heart because, oh my gosh, I would so love to stay at the Contemporary Resort. Seeing how that thing was built and how modular it is and how the monorail goes straight through it, something about that just like excites the child inside me.
Oh, yeah.
That there's a train that goes directly inside of the hotel, and just to be able to walk downstairs or take the elevator downstairs, not even leave the resort and hop on a monorail and go to the Magic Kingdom or to Epcot, is amazing.
Oh yeah, definitely. And to, you know, talking about the way that they put that together, seeing how they slid each one of those rooms into place and everything, just knowing that that is the history of Disney right there, makes it a place that, you know, and I haven't got to stay there yet. That is definitely on my list of places that I would like to stay for that very reason.
Right. And, you know, and just so
that is the history.
Just so everybody knows, the Contemporary is shaped more or less like an A. And what they did was they put this A-frame up with all these holes in the sides. And they took these, what looked what looked a little bit like shipping containers, just bigger. And they put beds in them, and they put nightstands, and they put all this furniture in them. And then they picked them up with a crane and slid them into the side of the resort. And so the idea was that every once in a while, they'd just slide all these out, refurnish them, and slide them back in. That has not happened, but that was the Imagineer's vision for it. And I mean, that's just like, that's engineering that would not happen anywhere else.
Oh yeah, and probably will never happen again after they got done doing it. But it was amazing that they were even willing to take a shot on something like that. In fact, I think probably we'll throw up on the Facebook page and try to tweet a link out. There's actually a video on archive.org that was put out by, I want to say, U.S. Still, that actually follows through that whole setup. And I suggest if you've got a little bit of time, watch that video, because it is very, very cool to see the way that that whole thing came together.
Yes, it is. Now vying for my affections with the Contemporary is the Polynesian. And I know that the Polynesian is has a special place in your heart.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, the Poly, again, that place has just got an incredible amount of theming. You know, I love being able to go out on the beach, and you can, you know, they've got places to just sit out in the sand. You can watch the fireworks from the beach. It's just, it's awesome.
Yeah,
just the way that's set up.
The theming of it, you know, you already hit on it, but man, the Hawaiian type theming of it is just beautiful. Think Lilo and Stitch, and turn it up to 11. I mean, it's beautiful, and everyone in there, much like other Disney things, they're so bought in
to, yes,
to where they are, that, man, it's amazing. What an experience.
You roll in there, if you're staying there, in fact, I've gotten it before and haven't been staying there. You can roll up in there, and, you know, they're going to put a lei on around your neck as you walk through the door.
Yep.
At times, you know, and they're going to greet you, aloha, and there's this huge plant set up in the middle of it, just beautiful, lush, almost jungle type feel to it. So you add all that amazing theming and the beach and the fireworks, and I can get a Dole Whip. And how can you beat that?
Yeah. And Disney does such a great job of manning those kind of places with people from that location who know, you know, exactly how it should be, what hospitality looks like, and just, oh, it's amazing.
Oh yeah. And now I've actually only stayed at one deluxe, and the deluxe that I stayed at was the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Ooh, which, la la.
Yes. Has a whole other, it was actually my Christmas present to my family, including my parents. I suppose that's why I was saying that. We stayed there for 2 nights, I believe, and then we went back to the Value Resort. But this was a place that, you know, we talked about for a long time. We wanted to stay, and the big selling point there is we would wake up in the mornings and we could walk out on the balcony, and there's a giraffe, there's a zebra, there's some antelope, all standing right outside our door.
Oh my gosh, that's insane.
And again, like I said, the deluxe resorts, you know, when we stay in a Value Resort, you get two queen beds they typically put in, mm-hmm, the hotel room. And when we stayed there, we had a bed and a couch that folded out, which was not as comfortable as a bed. It will never be as comfortable as a bed, Disney. Disney, a family needs two beds. And maybe, I can't remember exactly how I worked the deal I worked. So it is possible there are rooms there with two beds. That was not where we stayed, though, and so it wasn't hugely comfortable. The bed was really nice, couch, no. Like I said, just being able to step out and step out into this area where these animals were everywhere, and again, the theming in that place is just over the top. You feel like you have stepped, you know, into Africa, onto the Serengeti. You just feel like you're there.
And that is exactly where the break from the moderate resorts to the deluxe resorts is. The deluxe resorts
totally agree with that.
They go so above and beyond this is a hotel. They turn it into an experience. You know, the Animal Kingdom Lodge has the Sahara out, you know, in the right behind the hotel or right in the middle of the hotel, you know, and then the Polynesian is basically Hawaii. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and then the Contemporary has the monorail going through, and it's just so futuristic and modern, and the Grand Floridian has this and this gorgeous spa, and they take so much care and you know, looking after you and making you feel comfortable, and just all these deluxe resorts go above and beyond the call of a hotel. It's just I don't even know if you haven't like seen it or experienced it. Like, I've never experienced it, but I've seen and I've heard stories and I've dreamt about what it's like to stay at a place that's just that wonderful. And it just seems like the best. And man, if the Contemporary Resort was like just $100 less a night, I'd be all over it.
You know, and that's the, but there, okay, so there comes the thing to me. I look at the Port Orleans and I say, okay, I can stay at that place for $170 a night, or I can stay at the Contemporary for, what is it, $280 a night?
$336.
Oh, it's $336. Okay, so if I'm going to stay over 7 days, I can stay at Port Orleans the whole time, or I can have 2 days at the Contemporary and spend the rest of my time at Pop Century. And I don't know, for me, I'd almost rather buy into that little bit of time that I could spend at a deluxe and just and have a value for the rest of the time, just to say that I've been at the deluxe, as opposed to spending all my time at the moderate. And again, that's not, the moderates are not bad hotels by any stretch. They are very, very nice, but that's kind of the breakdown to me, is I want to experience those deluxe hotels. And I have to balance that with the, I don't have an endless supply of money with which to do so.
Right. And yeah, you're right. The moderates aren't bad hotels. The way I think about it is the moderates, your door is going to open to outside. Mm-hmm. You're going to have the little, you know, wall unit air conditioner, and the door is going to open to the outside. At a deluxe resort, your door is going to open inside. Yes. You're going to have a hallway through which you can walk to an elevator, and that's about the difference. You know, it's between like a Holiday Inn Express where your doors opens inside and you're inside the entire time, versus like a Best Western where you walk outside down to the lobby, you know, stuff like that. So not bad. They're different, but not bad.
Well, and again, that's where it becomes more difficult for me to make that breakdown between the moderate and the values, because at a value or at a moderate, my door opens outside. I've got, you know, that kind of a setup. At a value, my door opens to the outside. I've got that kind of setup. So again, to me, it feels like it's marginally larger rooms and maybe slightly better theming. I don't know. I'm not personally a fan of the Coronado theming. I haven't really seen that much of the Caribbean Beach. The Port Orleans felt like nice theming, but just not the over the top that you see when you go to the deluxe.
Yeah. And I would recommend, none of these hotels are off limits to anyone. So I would recommend, even if you're not staying at a deluxe resort, visit the Polynesian, visit the Contemporary. You know, there's restaurants in all of them. Ohana is wonderful. If you are a carnivore,
and huge skewers of meat.
Right. If you love meat and love unlimited supplies of it, and you love, you know, a lot of different kinds, then Ohana is the place for you. But yeah, visit them and just look, you know, look at what you can't have.
That's right. But even if you can't have it, you can still experience. And you know, that's the thing. Like I think I've said this before, I've spent days where I did not have a park ticket, but I spent the day just going around to the different resorts and just soaking it all in. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's a perfectly okay way to spend a day, you know, just getting to see everything and getting to experience, you know, the Whispering Pines, I believe, in the Fort Wilderness is a really, really fun restaurant to go and eat at. And it's got really good food too. You know, California Grill over in Contemporary. So, you know, go make a reservation at one of these restaurants and take the time to go over and check out these places, even if you're not staying there, mm-hmm. because it's worth your time, because it is, to me, part of the Walt Disney World experience.
Yeah. And to answer the question, is it worth it to stay on property when you're visiting Walt Disney World? Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
You should do it. And that, on that bombshell, that's the end of the episode. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast and like us on Facebook. Just search for Missing the Mouse. And we'll see you in 2 weeks and have a magical day. Oh, sorry.